The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Can you come back to Jesus after being away from Him for 25 years? Well, that and much more is what we're going to discuss on this episode. Hello and welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus, and I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. Currently, we're in a series where we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hi, this is Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Bob Wilkin.
I'm Sean Lazar. And we are taking your questions on Bible and theology.
Okay, good, good.
Are you ready? Here's a heavy one, but I also think it's kind of simple. It's from Alec. And Alec wants to know, can one return to Jesus after being away for over 25 years? I walked away and lived as a drug addict for over 25 years.
The answer is yes. If you're in the far country, Luke 15, 11 through 32, the prodigal son goes to the far country and he's there for a time and he wastes all his money on prodigal living. Well, being a drug addict is prodigal living. He then returns to the father because he realized his life was totally messed up.
Right.
And he realized his life was much better when he was in fellowship with his father.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, whether it's 25 years or 25 minutes, the thing to do is turn from your sinful ways, get back with the Lord. And of course, in the case of drug addiction, it's not only a sinful behavior, but it's also an addiction. It's almost a sort of mental illness. A person gets to the point where it's very hard for them to turn back.
Right. Not only can you, but you should. You should return. It's a better life for you to return to be with Jesus, not only in terms of your physical life, but also your spiritual.
Right. But now the issue here is not eternal destiny.
No. We're assuming that you've, Alec, that you've believed in Jesus for everlasting life, and then you've walked away.
And if he has, then he's remains born again even during all his time in the far country. And even if he died not returning to Christ, he would go to be with the Lord, even though there would be consequences both in this life and at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
But the thing to do is come back.
So basically, Alec would need to repent of his drug addiction and come back. All the things that come with that, you know, the lying, and he needs to repent of all of that and come back to Jesus.
Right.
And what does that look like in particular? Becoming a member of a local church, you know, walking in the light, coming under Bible teaching, all
right,
that stuff. What else does it include?
Well, it would be that your heart is set on pleasing the Lord.
Yeah.
It's ultimately a love relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper, is because we're reminded of His death for us and His resurrection for us. And as we remember what Jesus has done for us, it produces a sense of love and gratitude in us for Him.
Right. Maybe one of the key things that can make a person repent is not having Christians burden you with guilt and condemn you and say, oh, you worthless drug addict and all that stuff. All that law and condemnation, that's not really a great motivation for someone to come back. Maybe the motivation is to know that the Father is waiting for you with open arms. He loves you. He wants you to come back. He wants what's best for you. You are precious to Him. You are His son. And even though when we run away, it's as if we're dead to Him in terms of our fellowship, from the Father's perspective, He is looking for us. He's waiting for us to return. He's waiting for Alec to return.
Right. We see that in the parable of the prodigal son. The father's out there watching him. When he sees his son, he runs and greets him and hugs him and falls on his neck and throws a party for him, etc. And so, yes, God loves us, and He has a wonderful plan for our life.
Right.
Satan hates us and has a horrible plan for your life.
Yes, absolutely. So there's restoration and there's grace. That's what characterizes God's relationship with the believer. It's grace and mercy. And so that's still there. Stop hurting yourself. Basically, sin is just stop hurting yourself and the people around you and repent and return to God.
Right.
All right. Next question. So that was a pretty, you know, it was simple, but it's not really, you know, there's a lot to talk about.
There is.
Drug addiction is just becoming more and more of a problem, really.
Yeah, you want to talk about a pandemic. Drug addiction is killing untold numbers of Americans and people around the world every year, every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's like drunkenness, isn't it? So, like, you know, there are some clear rules in Scripture about We cannot have drunkenness. That's a church discipline issue. Don't you think an application would be, you know, taking drugs that impair your thinking is equivalent to drunkenness?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even prescription drugs that impair your thinking.
Right. Except prescription drugs sometimes are under the... Well... You should follow your doctor. Doctor's the best advice, don't you think?
Right. But people can be drug addicted to prescription drugs, and then they go doctor hopping trying to find doctors so
right.
they can take
right.
more than the needed, and, of course, for longer. And the truth is, oftentimes people end up going into drug addiction because of some surgery or some injury.
Right, it's legitimate. You're
where they had legitimate and they needed the medication,
uh-huh.
but then it became hard to stop.
Right.
And I'm sympathetic to all of that. I realize it could happen to me.
Okay, here's a question from Cherie. And Cherie says, just read your article. I grew up Presbyterian, and I've been taught that you must acknowledge that you are a sinful person, then confess your sins, and then ask God to save you by inviting Christ into your heart. But if that's the case, isn't that going against Lordship salvation, where the only requirement is to believe who Jesus is, who he says he is? I was taught TULIP and witnessed to others using the teachings of James Kennedy's evangelism explosion when I attended a non-denominational church. If we taught people that they had to confess and invite Christ into their hearts, was that wrong?
Yes, that's wrong. And EE, Evangelism Explosion, starts out great. It's the question, if you were to die today and stood before God and he said, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? If people give a works answer, well, you should let me in because my good works are better than my bad works, or you should let me in because I'm better than most people.
Right.
Then they say, no, let's take a look at the scriptures.
Yeah.
However, that same program, when you get to the end of Evangelism Explosion, goes off the tracks because the answer that was wrong at the beginning becomes right at the end.
Oh, so they diagnose the problem correctly.
Right.
If someone says that they get into heaven based on their works, that's
right.
the problem. But then they don't give the right solution.
Well, then the solution was, and I can't remember the exact wording, but something like yielding your life to Christ and committing
right.
your life to Christ.
Right.
And also, how do you know you're saved within EE? Well, it would be because I'm persevering in the faith, because of my works.
Mm-hmm.
So then, after you've done whatever EE wants you to do, if someone asks you, if you were to die and God said, why should I let you into my heaven? The correct answer now is, well, because I'm persevering in the faith.
Oh, boy.
Which is works,
that's
right?
That's the same thing.
It's the same basic answer.
That's the same
I mean, it may look a little different. So, but coming to the first parts of what Cherie is talking about.
So I was confused by the first part. So Cherie said, I was taught that you have to acknowledge that you're a sinful person, confess your sins, and then ask God to save you by inviting Christ into your heart.
Okay, let's take the first part
yeah.
of that. Acknowledging you're a sinner, I have no problem with that. Confessing that you're a sinner, I have no problem.
I mean,
confessing your sins is a problem. I mean, if you think you have to go through a list of every sin
right.
and acknowledge them, then that's a form of work salvation.
Right. Now, that can easily be part of someone's story before they come to believe in Jesus for eternal life.
And I have no problem
right.
with that.
They realize they're a sinner and they're like, wow, there's just no way I can save myself based on my works. And you might come to those realizations before you believe the promise of eternal life.
Right. But notice you said believe the promise of eternal life. You didn't
right.
say invite Jesus into your heart.
Well, so that's the problem here. Then ask God to save you by inviting Christ into your heart. That's what we call Christianese.
Right. There is no verse in the Bible that says we invite Jesus into our heart to be born again. In fact, I can't tell you how many people I've met who invited Jesus into their heart many, many, many times.
Right.
And they finally realized that the way you're born again is by believing in Jesus
yeah.
for salvation that cannot be lost, not by inviting Jesus in. And I'm personally an example of that. I invited Jesus into my heart probably hundreds of times before I came to faith.
Because what does that even mean? It's almost as if they're inviting Jesus to create some type of feeling inside of them to confirm that he's in there, in their heart. And then you're not really sure if the feeling happened and you start doubting whether you've made the right invitation. And so you're looking for more of a feeling maybe to affirm that he's there. It just gets very confusing.
Absolutely. I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, for 4 years. And we had a booklet on assurance of salvation, one of the 10 transferable concepts. And the question was, if I lack assurance, how do I get it?
Mm-hmm.
I've invited Jesus in, but right now I just don't have assurance.
Yeah.
The answer, according to this booklet on assurance, was invite him in one last time.
Mm.
Well, the problem is, okay, now I don't have assurance. A week later, what do I do?
Yeah.
Invite him in one last time, one last time. There's no solution there because it's an ongoing, ever-cycling problem.
You're just spinning your wheels.
Right. Because here's the thing. If there was a verse in the Bible that says, he who invites Jesus into his heart has everlasting life, then we could bank it on that verse. But there is no such verse.
No. In fact, if you wanted to boil down our mission, GES's mission, it's to reform evangelism. It's to bring clarity in evangelism. And one of the simplest tasks that we have, I'm amazed that this is actually a problem that comes up every single day, is that we just try to encourage people to ditch the Christianese, ditch all this language of inviting Jesus into your heart,
right,
or confess or whatever, and just believe, just emphasize believing in Jesus. That's the language that the Bible emphasizes. Have faith in Christ.
Right. And the other half of what we're doing, which is an application of what you just said, we're aiming to get people to live the Christian life in a way that glorifies God so they will have eternal rewards.
Right.
Because discipleship is related to evangelism, but they're distinct.
Right.
Once a person comes to faith in Christ, now we want them to follow him, to grow in him, to gain the abundant life that Jesus wants.
So to answer Cherie's question, was it wrong to go around telling people to confess their sins and invite Christ into their hearts to be saved? Yes, that is wrong. That's not what the Bible requires. The Bible requires for people to believe in Jesus for eternal life. However, I can imagine God even using inconsistent evangelism.
Right.
It's possible.
I've often said the more you garble the message, the less likely it is that people will come to faith. But even then, people may come to faith. You may have quoted John 3:16
right,
along the way.
At some point, you might have said, you got to believe in Jesus, and then they would have gotten it. Well, thank you for your questions, and keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org, and we will see you guys next time. God bless.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about whether King David was born again. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.